Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of egalitarianism, sustainability, peace, nonviolence, health, and freedom for all without discrimination. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, I'm featuring activists coast to coast from San Diego to New York City. We'll be joined for an interview with Jean Morillo and David Jardina. Here's a little bit of information about both of them. David Jardina is a singer, an award-winning filmmaker, independent health researcher, and vegan animal liberation activist based in New York City. He received a BA in theater from Hofstra University, and then he acted professionally in New York on TV, including As the World Turns and many others, and in various movies, including Moonstruck and When Harry Met Sally. As a crooner, David has performed at such venues as the world-famous Rainbow Room, the Algonquin Hotel, Grand Central Partnership, the Central Park Bandshell, the Cutting Room, as well as command performances at the United Nations and many others. David has also appeared off-Broadway in The Ziegfeld, Midnight Frolic, and in Vagabond Lover, The Life and Tunes of Rudy Valley, and in The Ziegfeld Follies of the Air as Will Rogers at Birdland. David wrote, directed, and produced the feature film Taffy Was Born, which won the award for Best Director and Audience Choice Award for Best Feature at the New York International Film Festival. Several of his other films have also won festival awards around the globe. Celebrating Art is a weekly Manhattan cable TV show, which David produces, airing every Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. on MNN.org Channel 4. David Jardina has also written a book on the nature of health and the mythology surrounding disease called A Banana in My Pocket. In this Vegan Nation program, we'll also be joined by Jean Morillo in San Diego. Jean has lived in San Diego for 3 years, having returned after a long stint in San Francisco. Around 9 years ago in San Francisco, he went fully vegan and joined the grassroots animal liberation organization in nearby Berkeley named Direct Action Everywhere, or DXE. This was early on, about 1 year into DXE's existence. He participated in almost countless activities with DXE, and part of his helping this organization grow, he became the lead organizer for the DXE San Francisco Working Group for around 3 years. Since his return to San Diego, he has participated with DXE San Diego, Animal Save, PETA, and has done numerous independent outreach activities for the animals. He also did outreach and protested for Black Lives Matter for several months in San Diego, along with attending rallies with the group called Reopen San Diego, protesting the, quote, so-called COVID mandates. Before Jean's participation with DXE in San Francisco, he also protested for gay rights and was in numerous anti-war activities going all the way back to the Vietnam War. During Vietnam, he successfully became a conscientious objector and proudly did not serve in the military. Also around 8 years ago, Jean started taking music much more seriously and as a vocalist has numerous cover recordings of all kinds that can be heard on his YouTube channel. In addition, for 2 years, he served to promote and manage the Facebook group called Vegan Music Makers, which at the time of his departure, he had built up to 365 fully vetted vegan musician members located worldwide. Finally, Jean has also been a big advocate for humor and has taken countless classes in comedy improvisation, both in San Diego and San Francisco. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're joined by Jean Morillo in San Diego and David Jardina in New York City, both totally awesome vegan activists and artists and musicians and very talented and very important and powerful. Welcome, Jean and David.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, likewise.
Oh, me too. I'm greatly honored. Thank you. And let's start with you, Jean, with your activism in San Francisco and then transitioning down to San Diego.
Alrighty. Yes, I had lived in San Diego for 25 years, being from upstate New York. Moved out to California when I was 25, went to San Diego. But then after 25 years, I moved to San Francisco for 17 years. And about 9 years ago, I became a vegan. And part of the reason I did was because of David. We had many discussions on that, and I finally took the leap. So I did a bunch with DXC and then various other groups in San Diego and still do. The most recent passion I have is the wet fish market down at the harbor, where we go now and then to expose what's going on down there, just a horrific scene. So, I mean, that's basically what I've been doing with activism here in San Diego.
Beautiful. Thank you for your work, your noble work. And I also enjoy your contributions with the esteemed Onions with music. Let's hear about that.
Sure. Well, now Dave came up with that name, David, and it's a remote reference. I'll let him explain that later. But when I heard the name for the group, I was hysterical. I just thought that it doesn't get better than that. And we decided that we were going to do mainly pop tunes from the 1960s, many of them largely forgotten by now. And we're not talking about the 60s like Led Zeppelin, The Doors, and all that. We were talking about actual pop tunes. So we started brainstorming different pop tunes to do, and we did a couple and really liked them and to sing as a duo. The most recent recordings we had were Painted Black, which was a takeoff of the Rolling Stones, and I rewrote the lyrics to that. And that's another thing we do. We rewrite the lyrics sometimes to some of these songs to make them more relevant to today.
I love the esteemed Onions, and I love your lyrics in the Paint It Black, with talking about the birds and the veganism and also armies, because I really appreciate that you're a peace activist and anti-war. So as vegans, we know it's all connected, the whole big pharma, animal ag, and the war machine. So I like how you condense all that together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Absolutely.
David, let's hear the other half of Esteemed Onions, the Esteemed Onions.
The other Esteemed Onions.
Yeah.
I'm the other onion in New York.
The other onion.
Yeah. Well, like Gene said, you know, had this idea. I don't know who had the idea. It may have been you, Gene. Hey, let's do a vocal duo because we both do singing. I sing my stuff, and Gene out in California has sung stuff, and we compare notes, and I'll record something, and I'll say, hey, Gene, listen to this. What do you think? How does this sound? And he'll do the same thing. So one day, I think he said, hey, let's do a vocal duo. We'll both sing on the same record. So I came up with the Esteemed Onions name. And that comes from an old 1960s sitcom, and it was called My Three Sons. And there was one episode I remember seeing as a kid where one of the sons on the show, on My Three Sons, is going to see his favorite rock group out of Chicago called The Esteemed Onions. So the funny thing is they never presented The Esteemed Onions on the show. It was just a plot device to get Chip to go to this concert, but we never see them. So I remembered this name all through the years, and I said, you know, somebody's got to do something with the Esteemed Onions. Well, now we have. Now we're finally, after since 1967, no one has seen or heard of the Esteemed Onions. Well, finally, the world is ready for us.
Nice, nice.
Esteemed Onions.
Yeah.
Can I interject just one thing, Dave? And I joked with Dave, and I said, if we ever have a riff, and we split and part ways in a bitter way, I'm going to, you can have the Esteemed Onions, I told him, but I will call my new duo the Steamed Onions.
Just not fried, because that's not very healthy. How about the lightly steamed onions? The more raw you are, the better. Got to keep these things in mind.
After this, I won't be surprised if we see someone
present themselves as the raw onions.
Yeah, maybe. That would be the next step.
Oh, there's so many names. The onion rings. I mean,
yeah. Oh, great. Well, David, yeah. Speaking of music, let's hear about your art and performance in New York City.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. That's what I've done for a while, and I'm very tied to the music of the 20s and 30s. I don't know why. I guess I'm my own best argument for reincarnation. I don't know, because my parents were rock and rollers, and you know, my mother definitely likes the music of her time. And so I wasn't raised on this pop music from the 1920s and 30s, but whenever I heard it as a kid, I loved it. So that's, as a singer, that's what I perform. And I've been at different places. I've been at the Rainbow Room. I've been at the United Nations. I've been at the Cutting Room. I've been at Swing 46, which is a popular club for that here in the city. I've been at the Grand Central. They have their outdoor concerts. I've performed with them in the band shell at Central Park. So yeah, whoever wants to hire someone like me, hey, I'm easy. I'll do it. That's what I do. For those of you who don't know what a crooner is, I refer to myself as a crooner. In fact, my moniker, or my, I guess you'd call it my handle, is the Croon Prince. That's my little promotional description. A crooner is a popular form of singing, because before there were microphones and before there was radio and anything electronic, the style of singing was much bigger. It was like opera. Opera was the pop music of its day. There were no microphones. There was no radio. There was no recording. So people had to boom their voices out, so it filled the whole entire, we're talking large metropolitan opera house size venues. That's with their voice. Over, they had to sing over a 100-piece orchestra as well. So that's why opera singers, you know, when we hear them, they're like, whoa, very big. And crooning was more intimate. It was almost like you were singing directly to one person. So if someone heard a singer over the radio and they were singing, come to me, my melancholy baby, it was more of a seductive, intimate way of singing. And that's what crooning is. And crooning wasn't invented with the 20s and that kind of music, but it became popular once microphones became the thing and radio became the thing. And then later TV and talking films. Crooning just became a popular vernacular, even though it had been around for a long time. Like people used to croon to babies to put them to sleep. It was just a gentler, more intimate way of singing. So that's what I do. I hope that makes it clear for people who aren't sure what a crooner is. That's what I do. Though I can be pretty loud too. I have a big mouth.
Thank you. That was very interesting and very informative. You are a wealth of knowledge, and not only with music and theater, you are also very intelligent and full of wisdom as an independent health researcher. Let's hear about that.
Yes. Well, you know, I come from a family that were doctors and nurses and scientists and surgeons. And, you know, my grandmother, my great-grandparents, my aunt was the head of the state laboratories in Connecticut. She was a microbiologist. So this was my background. This is what I came from. I never, oh, and my grandfather was a science teacher. My other aunt was a biology teacher. So I was raised on this. Even though I never had the calling to be a scientist or a doctor, I had this basis. So I had an interest in, you know, what questions to ask and what information to look for. And then later on, as I began to be on my own, I was out of the house, I started to ask my own questions and really become an independent researcher. I didn't want to work for somebody who was paying me to do this. I wanted to ask the questions that I was interested in and then get answers by cross-referencing from various different sources, from reading, talking directly to people who are in the field. And that's how it started. And it just kept going from there. And one day I was teaching homeschool kids, high school kids in New Jersey. I was teaching them a film class. And I began talking about a documentary I was making at the time about a mythology surrounding disease. And most people believe that, for instance, that germs and viruses are the cause of disease and that drugs can cure or prevent disease. And I said, well, you know, that is not so true. I told the students this. You know, I've been researching this for a long time, and that is clearly what I would say is true, not what we're told from commercially driven sources. Well, one of the kids kept asking me questions. So I said, you know, I will send you information. So I started emailing him answers to his questions with reference material that he could read further on. And this went back and forth. He kept asking more and more questions. And I was getting really, I shouldn't say impatient, but I, you know, it was a lot of work to do this. And finally, I realized this kid was my teacher, because what he was doing is he was almost forcing me to put down in a concise way all the things that I had been researching up to that point. And I'm still researching now, but up to that point, it had been many years. He was making me put it all down in a concise way in answer to specific questions. And then I realized, hey, I have a book. This is a book. So I actually revised it. I put it into chapter form. I called it A Banana in My Pocket, and now it's available. So if you can contact me, or you go to lulu.com, that's L-U-L-U.com, and there's my book called A Banana in My Pocket. And it's all about the nature of disease, nature of health, and the mythologies surrounding disease.
We're listening to David Jardina, an independent health researcher and vegan animal liberation activist in New York City. We're also joined by Jean Morello in San Diego, California. This is a special on Vegan Nation, Coast to Coast, all things vegan, freedom, liberation, and health. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with David and Jean.
Hi there. T.S. Abdullah reminding you to come join Solar Live on Sunday mornings, where you'll get smooth jazz, cool sounds, and all that soul. From dynamic music, the latest cultural events, and weather reports on every hour, here's the live, exciting side of Worcester County After Dark. So make the date. Yours truly, T.S. Abdullah, the Soul Live Experience, Sunday mornings, 3 to 6 a.m. on WCUW 91.3 FM.
Welcome back from the break. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're very fortunate to be joined by David Jardina in New York City and also Jean Morello in San Diego, California. And again, thanks, Jean and David, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
So great to be here. I've loved your show for a while, Marlene, and you have some great guests and topics. And so just to actually be on the show and being interviewed on your show is a thrill and an honor for me.
Thank you.
Yes, likewise. And in the past, you have interviewed other people that I know, and I've always said, oh, you know, it's so great that they're on the show, too. And you've so many interesting topics and interesting people. And, yeah, I'm thrilled to be on here and definitely very happy to have Dave on here with all the knowledge that he's just given us, of which we don't hear very often and which we need to hear all the time, actually, because to me, it's the bottom line is the truth.
Yes.
So, you know, I also thank Dave.
I've talked to a lot of people about these things. The pharmaceutical industry is a very, very powerful empire, and they have been for many decades, and they want to keep that power, and they want to keep growing it. So they're paying people off right and left, people who would otherwise be very decent and caring and thoughtful and conscientious are being paid off to take the money and shut up. So I think that's a lot of it. And, of course, that's only half of it. The other half are people who don't know any better, who mean well, but they hear what their doctors and their neighbors and their families are saying. Take the vax, get tested, wear a mask, social distance, stay home. Unless you do these things, you can't go to work, you can't get educated, you can't travel, you can't visit your families. They're buying it because they think that's the virtuous thing to do. They've never questioned the narrative. And I just want to add that if all of these mandates, mask wearing mandates, social distancing, staying home, getting a vaccine, vaccinating your children, social distancing, all of these things were all about protecting the public health and ensuring public health, then things like eating animal flesh, eggs and dairy would have been banned outright long before now, but they haven't been, which is very ironic considering that science has told us for many decades now that eating meat, eggs and dairy is directly related to our worst diseases. what should be very, very self-evident is not for most people. Again, it's because most people are addicted to eating meat, eggs, and dairy. That's in their culture. That's what they do. Everyone else they know is doing it. So they don't want to think about it. And the people who are controlling us, the people, pharmaceutical industry and the meat, egg, and dairy industry, they work together to make sure that people are indoctrinated, that we keep buying more of the things that are going to get us addicted and sick. And then they're going to offer us the meds and more meds to counteract the so-called side effects or symptoms of disease. So that's all, it's very ironic and very self-evident.
Thank you, David. Yes, very self-evident.
And I think things are changing, which is why these companies are running scared. They see that more and more people are waking up. There's a lot more to go. I mean, we have more to do, more work to do, more people to wake up, but it's happening. And they're trying everything in their power to shut us down before our numbers get too big. And that's my whole take on the whole vegan thing. I've talked to a lot of people about these things, and very, very few people are willing to at least question these things, and let alone do them and run with them. And Gene is one of the few, I'd say, who actually got the message, was with the message, and just did it. You know, that's unfortunately rare. Most people don't. They don't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, part of that, too, Dave, is that it's difficult for people to live in the truth on this issue. And I mean, we have experienced it in our own personal lives, you know, in terms of people we can't see anymore, in terms of work, and all kinds of things. So, but you know, a true activist perseveres and lives in the truth. And so that's how I've always seen it, and as well as you, I for sure know that.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, that's the challenge, I guess. So that's why it's important to be out there. If you get it, it's important to share it, whether people are going to take it or not. That's another thing, but it's important to be out there. I guess planting seeds, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you both. And speaking of all of that, the knowledge and the experiences that are out there, but they're suppressed, Gene, can you please talk more about censorship in especially 2022, but that started a lot with the global situation in 2020, but let's talk about censorship.
Yeah, well, these are all attempts at censorship. These are bills in California. Governor Newsom of California famously said when there was the major lockdown in California that as California goes, so goes the nation. And while all this is going on, even though some people are waking up, as Dave says, there are people busy, busy, busy in the background putting all these bills together before the state legislatures to get things through.
Please join us again next week to hear the 10 bills that Gene is sharing. We'll feature that on Vegan Nation next week. Yes, Gene, and can you please share with us why this is a factor in veganism? Because many people think that veganism is only about freedom for the animals, and it's about freedom for humans as well.
Everything ties together. You know, speaking of quantum physics and all of that, everything is tied together. Everything is all one. And when we torture animals, we torture ourselves. You know, we ingest all that torture, all that horrible death and everything in our bodies. We get sick. And then, you know, humans turn it around and call it a pandemic caused by some virus. It's all connected, all of that. And then I would like my fellow animal liberation activist friends to be super open to critical thinking and not just looking at the mainstream media. There's so much to learn out there, you know, and David Jardina is a classic example of, you know, actual factual information and research and study. And, you know, he's recommended to me various books as well. There's one very really good book called Virus Mania, and Dave recommended that to me. Boy, did that ever enlighten me. So, I mean, I would ask people to start waking up, especially our activist friends. I mean, we don't follow the mainstream dictates with the animals. Why do we do it with ourselves and our home, our relatives and so forth? Why do we do that? And we're holding back everything by doing so. So I'm going to ask everybody to start looking more into that. And don't be angry with me. I'm just saying we all have to be able to stand up and speak the truth. And for all of you that might be mad at me, just know that I still love you all, and I still want to work with you, so don't get too crazy. All right? Thanks.
Thanks, Gene Murillo.
So, again, a show like yours, Marlene, we can bring this to the fore. I just want to thank you so much for all the hard work you've done and all the great people you've had on your show. And I've been, you know, a fan of yours for years. So thank you once again.
Yes, I totally am with that. Thank you, Marlene.
David's website is davidgiardina.com. That's DavidGiardina. And Gene's YouTube channel is Gene Murillo, that's GeneMaurillo. Thank you, David. Thank you, Gene. And thank you, everyone, for tuning into Vegan Nation. We'll continue with our feature with Gene and David next week, as well as Dr. Amity May in Los Angeles.
How I wish I could do more. How I wish. To stop the blood on the killing floor, to live in peace forevermore.
Here's a song written and sung by David Giardina.
How I wish their pain would end. How I wish their pain would end. They all have lives which they'll defend, for they're not things, each one's a friend.
Please join us again next week. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.
How I wish I could do more. How I wish stop the blood on the killing floor.